Turn first to John chapter 10. Some things we're going to cover tonight in some aspects may be review, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. In John chapter 10, take a look at the 10th verse. It says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Now look at the first part of this. Jesus says, and you know he's talking about the devil here. He says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Have you ever wondered how he does that? Have you ever wondered the way he operates to steal, kill, and destroy? Well, you know, a lot of people talk about how that the devil did this and the devil did that and killed this person and hurt that other person, and I understand that. But what many people don't seem to understand, or maybe the full reality of it hasn't really hit them, is that Satan works through people. Think of it this way. How many of you have ever seen photographs or old film clips of wars, which really didn't start until about the First World War? That's when we really got photographs and film clips. And prior to that, we had to rely on artists' rendering, paintings and so forth. Now, I don't know about you, but in all the paintings that I've ever seen about wars and battles, and all the film clips I've seen, and all the pictures that I've seen in the history books and on the shows on television and so forth, I have yet to see one where Satan is leading the charge. I have yet to see one where some guy in this red suit with a pointy tail and horns coming out of his head and a big old pitchfork is, you know, leading the way. All I see are people. I don't see hordes of demons charging up with their machine guns. All I see are people. That's all I see. The way that Satan steals, kills, and destroys is through people. And one of the problems that we have quite often is that we tend to blame people for these wars and for these things happening. And I do understand that concept. However, is it really that confusing that we have a lot of the problems that we have today if we really understand that man is born with a sin nature? Is it really that difficult? Well, it shouldn't be. But now here's the key in this. When it comes to these wars, when it comes to the stealing, the killing, and the destroying, the thing that Satan has to work with is that sin nature. That's what he works through. He appeals to the very essence of that sin nature to try to get people to do what he wants them to do, which is steal, kill, and destroy. You think about in the Bible, it didn't take Satan very long before he was able to get someone to act on his behalf and kill. Cain killed Abel. Who do you think motivated that? I mean, when you go back and you study out that whole story, you can see that Satan was trying his best to manipulate Cain in any way that he could. And what you have is man with a fallen nature and Satan able to work through that nature. See, when you take a look at what goes on here in this world, Satan will take anybody with a sin nature to the absolute depths of that nature if he can. And the only thing that stops people from becoming horrible people is if they live in a nation that governs the people and imposes upon them some form of synthetic conscience or fear of retribution. You know, a lot of people have their own personal viewpoints on the death penalty. But yet at the same time, I don't know about you, the thought of being executed, that's not a pleasant thought to me. And some people say the death penalty is a deterrent, and some people say that it isn't. Well, in one respect, when you take somebody to the very depths of that sin nature, they probably don't care if they die or not. And in that respect, it's not a deterrent. But you take somebody who's reached that level, I mean the absolute pit of the sin nature, and it's very possible they have seared their conscience to the point they won't repent no matter what. Well, you know, we could debate this issue all night long as far as, you know, yes or no death penalty, but what I'm getting at is here in this country, we oftentimes seem to have a difficulty understanding how a guy like a Hitler could rise to power. Because if somebody in this nation tried that, and they have, did you know that in this country there was a man who tried to get the Nazi power to rise, Nazi party to rise to power during World War II when Hitler was rising to power? Do your study. It's interesting. Our government became very concerned with this and started taking action within this nation. Action that if it had been taken over in Germany, Hitler would have been stopped. And it became such an issue that Hitler himself actually distanced this man. I forget this guy's name, but he actually distanced himself from this man because this was right before the outbreak of the United States entering World War II. And Hitler distanced himself from that because he saw if he didn't, the reaction in this country to what this man was doing could interfere with what Hitler wanted to do to take over Europe. Do your research on that. It's really interesting. There were massive Nazi party rallies that took place in New York City, Madison Square Garden. It's incredible. This is the kind of thing a lot of people don't hear about. So what happened in Germany would have happened here if it hadn't been for the way that our laws are structured and the fact that there is retribution for the breaking of the law. In this country, if it weren't for the fact that you had godly people, and if it weren't for the fact that you had the essence of law imposed on people, then we would end up with our Saddam Husseins. We would end up with our Stalins. That kind of stuff would go on here. There's no difference other than the fact that there have been godly people who have maintained a godly conscience, and at the same time, they have stressed and enforced morality. Let me give you an example of how this operates. Look in Matthew chapter 2 of how Satan works through people and motivates them to do things, horrible things. In Matthew chapter 2, you know, Jesus has been born, and the wise men, or the magi, they come to visit Herod. And they say, hey, listen, we're here to see the king of the Jews, and you know the story, where is the king, so on and so forth. And they tell Herod that, you know, he'd be about 2 years old now and all this other. So they left, and anyway, the end result was that the wise men were warned not to go back to Herod because Herod wanted to kill this apparent heir to his throne. And look what happened. In verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Please let your mind wander along that. Here you are at home and you have your little baby, 2 years old, and all of a sudden, there's not really even much of a knock. just an opening of your door, and here come the soldiers. And they take that baby from your arms and either kill that baby right in front of your eyes or take it somewhere and kill it. All the children 2 years old and under. Those of you that are mothers, can you imagine watching such a thing happen? What kind of a person would order this? What kind of a person would give a commandment for that type of an atrocity to take place? Why? I can answer that. It's somebody who has sunk so low in that sin nature that all Satan has to do is suggest such a thing, and it happens. That's the power of the sin nature, and that's what Satan works with. You know, somebody could say, whew, boy, I'm sure glad nothing like that goes on today. Really? And in the last 30 years, how many babies have been murdered? Think about that. Millions. Millions. Didn't even make it to 2 years old. They've been murdered. You take a look at what is happening in this country right now, and you are seeing a progression of events. Satan has worked on this nation now for roughly 250 years to try to get people in place who were so numb to the morality of God that they would act on anything He says to do. Like, you know, let someone die that you think has no worth, no value, and has nothing left to offer society, only to be hooked up to a feeding tube. Who is not brain dead, who can still think, who can still communicate with their eyes, but they have nothing left to offer. So go ahead and kill this person. Let me get this straight. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, which means that healing is still available for everyone on this planet. So therefore, it doesn't matter what the physical condition, this potential for healing is still there. But yet, when you have people who have become so numb and so calloused because of that sin nature, they will do anything. And here's the almost scary part about that. Every single one of us in here had the potential to become the next Stalin, the next Saddam, the next Hitler, all of us. The difference was we were born here, not in Germany, not in Russia, not in China, not in North Korea, not in some of these other nations, not in Cuba. The difference is we were born here and we were raised in a country to where even if we were an atheist, we still had the threat of some sort of moral responsibility to where if we did this, then we had to pay this price over here. But now look what's happening over the years. The laws are becoming such to where judges are not imposing the sentences that they could impose. I mean, what's happening is that we are headed in the direction of the sin nature, wiping people out. In fact, when you read in the book of Revelation, it talks about all these judgments being poured out and so on and so forth, but read the book of Revelation very closely, and what you're going to see is a society that is governed by a sin nature. Now, look over in John chapter 8. This will help you see this maybe a little bit more clearly. John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus is talking to these religious leaders and He says, "Ye are of your father the devil." Now look at this. "And the lusts of your father ye will do." In other words, you become His henchmen. He's not the one that killed the 2-year-old babies. It was people that killed the 2-year-old babies. He just motivated it. And it goes on to say that he was a murderer from the beginning. In other words, you can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, and you're going to find that after, you know, a few short span of years, he was able to enact murder through somebody who acted as his representative when Cain killed Abel. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Now keep that in mind. There is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So what we have then is man born into this world with a sin nature, and it is that sin nature that Satan plays on. It's that sin nature that he's able to work through to get people to do these kinds of things, to turn into the Jeffrey Dahmers, to turn into the Charles Mansons, to turn into all of these tyrants who have lived throughout the ages, to turn into judges who ignore moral responsibility and issue laws that literally defy the Constitution of this country, but in effect are exalting the sin nature. And the people don't even realize this is happening. The people that are doing this, they don't even realize. It's because they're blinded by the power of that sin nature. In fact, look over in the book of John, John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, this is speaking of Jesus. It says, in him, Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. So therefore, when Jesus came into the world, it says, in him was life. He was the only one. In him was life. Nobody else had this life. That means everybody else had death. And then it goes on to say that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So therefore, what this is telling us is that there is a direct connection between life and light. Well, when he's talking about light, he's not talking about flip the switch and turn on the lights. He's talking about spiritual light, if you will, on the inside, life. And then the next verse, verse 5, it says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It's talking about the spiritual darkness. There was a prophecy, the people that dwell in darkness have seen a great light. That's what this is talking about. It says that the darkness, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then it goes on, if you look down here in verse 9, talking about Jesus, that Jesus was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In other words, we're born in darkness, but now through Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to change that darkness into light, or to change that death into life. So we're born with the sin nature, and it's that sin nature that Satan is able to work through. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we now receive from Him the light or the life nature. So we have changed. We have passed from darkness to light. Now we have a new nature. And it's through that new nature that God works. Look over in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 16 says, the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We don't have a record of the Holy Spirit bearing witness with anybody like that until after they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so he says here that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Well, what is it about our spirit that it enables him to bear witness? The fact that we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and now we have that light or that life that he had and has. We have the light and the life of the Father in us. Our spirits no longer have the sin nature. Our spirits now have the life nature of God. Okay, now, while we had the sin nature, God couldn't work through us because there was an incompatibility between us and God. There was no connection there. We were different from him. But now that we're born again, we have the life and the nature of God. And it's through the power of that life and that nature that God is able to communicate with us. There is now a compatibility. Now here's the thing. When we had the sin nature, that's what Satan worked through. He worked through our sin nature to try to get us to act in the flesh according to that sin nature. And he'll take a person as far as they'll let him. He'll take you, if as far as he can take you is that you commit adultery, and that's as far as you'll go into that sin nature, he will take you that far. But if you will let him, he will take you all the way to be the next Hitler, to be the next Saddam Hussein, to be the next Stalin. He'll take you as far as you let him, because he works through and with that sin nature. But now then we get born again. We don't have that nature anymore. Now we have a nature that is compatible with God's nature. We have that life on the inside of us. Now the Holy Spirit is able to work with us because we have that life nature on the inside. Okay, now, when this happens, the Holy Spirit is working in us in accordance with that new nature, working with us spiritually to try to get us to act in the flesh in accordance with our life nature. It talks about in Galatians that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc., and so forth. In other words, when we begin acting in the flesh in accordance with our life spirit, our new nature, then we're going to be acting outwardly what we've become inwardly. Now let me show you something here. Look in 2 Corinthians. No. 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. Now look at verse 12. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." All right? So now we don't have the spirit of the world or the spirit that we were born into this world with. We have a spirit that has come from God. It's a new nature. And the Holy Spirit works with that new nature to help us conform to the image of God. Now the only thing that the Holy Spirit has to work with is our born-again spirit. There is nothing else. If it was our minds, we wouldn't need Jesus. We wouldn't need to be born again if the thing the Holy Spirit worked with was our minds, because He could work with everybody on the planet. Doesn't matter if you had the sin nature or not. He doesn't care. He works with the mind. If the flesh was the only thing that He worked with, we wouldn't need Jesus, because He could work with the flesh. But it's the Spirit that He works with, and that is the only thing He has to work with, is our born-again spirit, that new nature. That's it. And if He can get us to respond to Him the way He wants, then we begin to live according to who Christ is. And we begin to demonstrate Jesus to the world. We become a reflection of Jesus, which is what it talks about there in Scripture, about standing before the glass, conforming to the image and change from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit works with our spirit, and there is nothing else He has to work with. But what happens? What happens if we do this? What happens if instead of allowing Him to work with us on a spiritual level, we try to talk Him into working with us on a mental level? In other words, Holy Spirit, I prefer that You work with my soul, not my spirit. When we do that, we end up looking to man to feed our soul with the things of God, as opposed to the Holy Spirit comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The spiritual things of God with the spiritual nature that we have received from God. He's working on us on a spiritual level. But now what happens if we can get this thing twisted around? You say, how would we get it twisted around? Oh, it's easy. Once you've had a change of nature, Satan no longer has a sin nature on the inside of you to work with or to work through or to try and influence. You're no longer spiritually compatible with Satan. The only thing that he has left is to lie to you. And one of the ways that he lies to you is to get you to think that you still have a sin nature. Because if he can get you to think that you still have a sin nature, even though you're born again, then he's going to be able to convince you that you're bound to sin and there's not a whole lot you can do about it unless God steps in and intervenes and stops you from sinning. Unless God miraculously moves in your life and grabs a hold of you and stops you and says, no, you're not going to do that. Today I decide you will not sin. Yeah, but what about yesterday, God? Well, I was busy over in China yesterday. I'm sorry. The only thing Satan can do now is to lie to you. Okay, now let's take this even further. Beyond just the lies that you still have a sin nature. If Satan can lie to you and get you to believe that you don't need the Holy Spirit's help, then what you're going to do is effectively shut off the spiritual communication between you and the Holy Spirit. And now you have put yourself totally dependent upon the mind of man, and you had better hope that the mind you're listening to as they speak to you have been fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, because if they haven't, then you're taking a chance that the doctrine they give you is not going to line up with what the Holy Spirit would give you if He had the chance. Now let me give you an example of this. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, beginning in verse 13, look what Paul says. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." All right, so he doesn't want us to be ignorant. That means he's going to be teaching us something that's going to keep us from being ignorant. Amen? Now, Paul has already explained to us that the things he teaches came from God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, "I don't want you to be ignorant about people who have died." He said, verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep or that have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." All right, so he's talking about end times, I guess, if you want to put it that way. He's talking about the change that is coming. And he says, "Now guys, listen, I don't want you to be ignorant about this, so I'm going to teach you, and the things that I'm teaching you are things that I've received from the Lord." He's already established that, you know, over in Corinthians. Now, let me show you something else. Look in 2 Corinthians. Keep this passage in mind. Very important what he said here and what he shared. Look in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verse 1. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Keep in mind what he just wrote over to those people in 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Do you see this? Now remember, he wrote in 1 Thessalonians, now different wordings, but he's talking essentially about the same events here. He's making reference to like the same kind of point in time. He taught them these things, and he delivered to them the things that God had given to him. Well, what happened? Well, look at this. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. All right, now how could a man deceive them? He just tells you up in verse 2. Don't be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us. In other words, a letter that's written to you, or a word that is spoken to you, and that letter or that word is presented to you as though it came from us, or originated from us, or that the teaching, the doctrine, originated from us. He says, let no man deceive you. And then he goes through and he tells them some things and he says, don't you remember that I told you these things the last time I was with you? But what happened? What happened was this. Somebody came along and lied. Let no man deceive you. Somebody came along and lied. All right, now where'd they get that lie? Who motivated that lie? Well, it wasn't Paul. And it wasn't John, and it wasn't Matthew, and it wasn't Peter. It was somebody out there that didn't know what they were talking about. Now keep this in mind. The teaching that Paul gave to people, he got it from who? He got it from God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and that's what he explains to us, especially in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Therefore, what Paul taught the Thessalonians came from God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and he delivered it unto them. But somebody has come along that they recognize as a preacher or a teacher and has taught things to them that opposed what Paul taught. Now, if what Paul taught came from God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, these people had to have gotten their information from somebody else, the ones that were doing the deceiving. What were they teaching about? They were teaching about the coming of the Lord, the return of Jesus, the day of the Lord. And what they were teaching was, well, the day is at hand. They weren't teaching against the resurrection. They were teaching these things are taking place now. They weren't teaching against Jesus. They were teaching Jesus as Savior, but they were turning the doctrine around that God has established through Paul. And they were doing it so effectively that in spite of what had happened when Paul was with them the last time and he taught them the right things, this incorrect teaching was so effective that it got these people off track to the point that Paul actually had to readdress this issue and say, guys, don't you remember? I told you all about this last time I was there. He wouldn't have had to correct this if these people weren't starting to believe it. You look over in, you don't have to turn to it, but in Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who's been able to come in after me and teach you something different and do it so effectively that they actually got you to turn away from the things that I had originally taught? You didn't turn from Jesus, but you began to turn to another doctrine that was a completely changed, different method of teaching than what I had delivered unto you. Okay, now, how did all this happen? It happened because people were relying on mental teaching instead of spiritual teaching. And what did Jesus tell us about the Holy Spirit? That He would be our teacher. He would, and that over in 1 John it talks about the Holy Spirit. He is the source of the anointing that will help us guard ourselves against right and wrong teaching. Now, Satan has lost when it comes to our spiritual nature. Because we're born again and we no longer have that sin nature. Now he's got a plan on our minds. And he knows he's not going to get us to... Now he can't turn us into the next Hitler. Okay? Because we're not that stupid. Oh, we might do dumb things, but he knows he can't get us to go in that direction. So the best thing that he can do is to get us walking in some kind of confusion, some level of deception concerning everything that God has told us. Now let me just give you one example, okay? And I use this one a lot. Nowhere in Scripture, and you go home and you read the whole New Testament if you want to, from Matthew to Revelation, just go home and read it. But nowhere in the New Testament does it say that the gifts of the Spirit will cease. Nowhere. Nowhere does it say that the infilling, baptism, or whatever you want to call it, of the Holy Spirit is only for certain people. Nowhere does it say that. Nowhere. Nowhere does it say that praying in tongues will come to an end. That's nowhere to be found in Scripture. And nowhere in the New Testament, nowhere, do we find that God circumvents the Holy Spirit and His method of teaching to teach us in a different way. In other words, well, I don't think I need the Holy Spirit, and I don't think I need to pray in tongues. I can get everything I need another way. And God says, well, okay, fine, I can work with that. That's not in Scripture. This, what I'm sharing tonight, is a very hard thing for some people to accept. Because what I'm telling you is, if you believe anything other than what you see in the Word, then you're living according to a lie that originated with Satan himself. And Satan found a mouthpiece who was not listening to the Holy Spirit, but was listening to something else. And that person, as loving and as kind, as compassionate, as godly as they may seem, that person's been duped. And it doesn't mean they're going to hell. It just means they've been duped when it comes to these things. I was duped, guys. I lived believing that those things of the Holy Spirit weren't for today, died out with the apostles and all this stuff. I lived that way. I believed that. I was duped concerning healing. I did not believe that, you know, divine healing was for today and that miracles still happen. I didn't believe that. But an amazing thing happened. I got filled with the Holy Spirit, which was completely counter to what I had been taught before, because I had been taught that I got all the Holy Spirit there was to get when you got born again. Then I had an experience with the Holy Spirit that I was told I couldn't have because it wasn't available today. And then I begin this process of learning how to allow the Holy Spirit to teach me things. And the more that I've allowed Him to teach me, the more I've begun to see that things in the Bible which I hadn't believed, I need to believe. Because they're still in the Bible. Think about that. Now here's a tough part about all this. You and I have a lot of brothers and sisters in the Lord that are living in deception. But God still loves them as much as He ever did. And He will work in their lives with as much truth as they offer Him. Meaning, as much truth as they have received into their life and are living by, He will work with it. He works with truth. He's not a respecter of persons. He's not going to tell somebody, well, you know, you have this much truth in your life that you believe in, that you accept and that you're living by, but because you don't pray in tongues, I'm not going to honor that truth. That's ludicrous. He operates with as much truth as they're walking in. But the thing is, the more truth we walk in, the more God is able to walk or work through us. Now, when it comes to the whole thing of the Holy Spirit, God knew... God knew we were just too stupid to be left to ourselves. That's why He sent the third person of the Godhead and gave Him the assignment to be our teacher. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm not the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't want that kind of a job. All the people that tell me that I'm no longer doing what I used to do, all the people that tell me I got laid off and that I'm not operating, that, you know, when certain people died, that, you know, I lost my job, I went on welfare or something. I wouldn't want to be the Holy Ghost. But there He is, waiting. Just waiting. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. You know what? The Holy Spirit is standing at the door and knocking, using that illustration. He's waiting for every single believer who's never received Him and maybe doesn't even believe in His ministry today. He is waiting for the moment that those believers are going to turn around and say, gee whiz, I guess maybe I need You after all. And there He is. He takes no offense at all the insults they've levied in His direction all these years. The Holy Spirit works with our spirit, and that is all He has to work with, is that new nature. If we shut Him off, how's God going to minister to us the way that He really would like to? Oh, He ministered to us. Well, what I'm talking about is us as individuals becoming everything that we can in Christ and living according to the fullness of who we became when we were born again. How in the world is that going to happen if we shut off the very One who's been given the job to teach us these things? See, we still have pastors, we still have teachers and evangelists and all this other, but I know this. I could be locked up on a mountain for 30 years, but if I knew about praying in tongues and I had my Bible, I could spend that 30 years in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and what He gave me as far as doctrine, I would come down preaching doctrine that was right. I wouldn't have to have all these other people speaking into my life. I wouldn't have to go to the bookstore and buy books to find out how to be a good pastor and a good dad and a good husband and a good wife and a good son or daughter and a good, deacon and all that. I wouldn't have to go buy those books. I could get that from the Holy Spirit as He speaks to me, as He ministers to me. But the moment that I shut Him off, the moment that I tell Him that I don't need Him, the moment that I come to the conclusion that I can get all of this some other way, is the moment that I have set myself up to be led by the nose in the wrong direction. Not necessarily that I will deny Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I will start walking in wrong doctrine, and then I will turn around and I will teach that wrong doctrine to other people. The Bible makes it very clear that we can know the things of God. I mean, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. We have been given the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, so that we might freely know the things that are of God. And then somebody turn around and tell me, you never know what God's going to do? Who's teaching who here? Where's this stuff coming from? This is why, for every one of us, no matter what our situation, no matter what our church background, no matter what has gone on in our lives, the Holy Spirit is here to work with us on a spiritual level, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. And the more that we pray in the Spirit is the more that we are giving the Holy Spirit the opportunity to do His job in our lives. This message is about praying in tongues, yes. You don't need to pray in tongues to figure it out. Hallelujah. This is pretty self-evident. The more that you pray in tongues, the more the Holy Spirit is going to be able to keep you on the path of right doctrine, right teaching, the more He's going to be able to help correct the incorrect teaching. But if we dismiss this and we take it for granted and we don't do this, I mean, think, everyone in this room, far as I know, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, can pray in tongues. Think about where you are now compared to where you were 10, 15, 20 years ago. Think about this. And it's not me that's done it. It's the Holy Spirit. All I've done is given you information. Think about where you are right now. The glory goes to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has been able to work in you to produce who you are today. Now think about where you can be in 5 more years, in 10 more years. And it won't be because of me. It will be because you allow God to work in you through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, neglect not the gift that is in you. Well, I'm going to paraphrase that. Neglect not the miracle of praying in tongues. Because it is a miracle. In an instant, the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to pray in a language you never knew. And you do it perfectly every time. God will work with you in your mind based upon the truth that's been embedded in your mind that comes from your spirit. And then, like in Hebrews, the time that you ought to be teachers, you become that teacher. In other words, you become the one who conveys information to other people, truth, to help them. Yeah, but Brother Martin, you think everybody's going to receive this? No, there's a lot of people who won't receive this message tonight. It's because Satan's worked so hard on their minds to keep them so deceived that it really doesn't. I believe that it's possible Jesus Christ Himself could manifest in front of some people one-on-one and sit down with them and explain to them, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you need to pray in tongues. I truly believe that. He could, and that they would reject it. They would listen to Him. And I believe there are some people that are so messed up, they would tell Him no. That's an amazing thing. And I hope I would be wrong about that. But at this point in my life, I believe it. I believe there are some people that would actually reject Jesus. So just because people reject you and me as we share these things with them, you know what? We've got to be like the Holy Spirit. We cannot take it personally. We have to keep praying in tongues and we have to keep going forward. Yeah, but I might lose friends in the process. I know it. Jesus lost a bunch of friends. Trust me, you are going to go through friend changes in your life. And some of those friends will be family members. But you know what? You have to keep praying and you have to keep going forward. You have to keep conforming to the image of Christ to fulfill the works and the will of the Father here in this life. The Holy Spirit works with you on a spiritual level in your new nature. Pray in the Spirit and release the anointing that will guard you against the lies of the enemy. And walk in truth and know truth and be made free. Hallelujah.